ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
A warning that this story covers violent crime and may be distressing to listeners. If you need support, please contact Beyond Blue's support service on 1300 224 636. A tragic attack at Bondi Junction's Westfield Shopping Centre in Sydney has ended with six people dead and eight still in hospital after a 40-year-old Queensland man went on a stabbing rampage on Saturday afternoon. While details of the incident are still emerging and New South Wales Police continue their investigation, the family of the attacker said he battled mental health issues since he was a teenager. Professor Kimberley Dean is the Chair of Forensic Mental Health at UNSW and Consultant Forensic Psychiatrist and joins us this morning. Professor Dean, thank you.
Good morning.
The man responsible for the Bondi attack was reportedly diagnosed with schizophrenia. People who knew him told media his health deteriorated in recent years. What's the picture that's emerged so far?
I think it's, as you mentioned, it's pretty early to say what the particular role of mental illness, whether it be schizophrenia, is the diagnosis or not, his deterioration, which has been reported, and this event. It's pretty early to say, and I think it's pretty early to say whether, you know, anything in relation to contact with services occurred and whether that would have been at all relevant or had any role in preventing what's happened. I guess I just want to make that point from the outset. It's really difficult with the limited facts we have, but also in individual cases, even when you have as many facts as you're ever going to get, it's difficult to draw conclusions about the role of mental illness. It's often a really complex one.
Police have confirmed he lived an itinerant lifestyle in recent years, including in his car and at backpacker hostels. Are those places you find people who are falling through the gaps?
Absolutely. The difficulties for people with severe mental illnesses, severe and complex mental illnesses like schizophrenia, are many, and homelessness, or as you described, living an itinerant lifestyle, having some contact with the police and other agencies, that's a common picture for this group, or at least, you know, a proportion of people in this group who often have, in addition to their schizophrenia, often have a range of other problems. There might be drug and alcohol problems. That's incredibly common for people with severe psychotic illnesses like schizophrenia.
Reports also suggest there had been periods of his life where he was functioning well. What kind of triggers do we tend to see for people who experience a slide like this?
It's very individual, but commonly the disorders like schizophrenia are long-term, they're chronic, and they can be characterised by periods of times when people are relatively well and functioning, and then periods where they're not. Often a disengagement from treatment or disengagement from services or an inability to access treatment or services can be a trigger for people. A slide into misuse of drugs and alcohol can be a factor. Circumstances in the person's life, stresses in their life can be a factor. It's quite individual.
What does this mean in terms of both our policing systems and the way that we manage these issues? Are we doing a good job of this, or do we need to make changes in the way that we handle these issues?
As I said earlier, difficult to say whether any of this would be relevant to the current case. But in general, I think we are struggling in Australia, just like in many other parts of the world, to really meet the needs of people with severe and complex mental illnesses. We find too many people with that diagnosis who end up in really difficult circumstances like homelessness and contact with the criminal justice system. My area of forensic psychiatry, that's our bread and butter. The majority of people actually that we see with diagnoses like schizophrenia who have contact with the justice system have actually not committed or are alleged to have committed serious violent offences. Most have contact for much more minor offences, but their circumstances mean that they often get into a spiral with the criminal justice system. So I think that is an important area, relatively neglected area, that in Australia and, as I say, many places around the world, we're just not appreciating the scale of the mental health need. We have difficulty recruiting and retaining staff. We're in a workforce crisis in many respects in mental health. So I think all these areas need better attention and focus and investment.
He lived in Queensland and then New South Wales. Are there enough hospital beds to admit inpatients with serious mental illnesses when they are in crisis?
It's difficult to say how many inpatient beds in mental health you should have for a population, but there has been work done, including by academics in Australia, trying to look at the ideal number. And I think the conclusion really is that we have insufficient inpatient beds, but beds are just one part of a whole system that needs investment from community care right through to that really intense levels of care that some of our patients require. It's right across the board. So there's more pressure on beds if there is an underinvestment and lack of resources in community care. They are all linked. So it's a systems-wide approach that we need, and better investment, particularly in public mental health in this country. I think we've seen a decline in investment in public mental health.
Yes.
And as I say, recruiting and retaining staff.
We're out of time. Thank you so much. Professor Kimberly Dean, Chair of Forensic Mental Health at UNSW.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.